Today I'm going to talk about how to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. How to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. I will tell you, I don't know that we've ever seen such a day where women are screaming at the top of their lungs to do things that are so ungodly. Where women today have lost sight of what God says it is to be a godly woman. And I'm going to tell you, to do it God's way is the only way to go. If you do it God's way, you get blessed. If you do it God's way, your children get blessed. Your husband gets blessed. Blessings flow when we do it God's way. Amen. And so if you cast out God and you try to do it on your own, what happens is you become a wicked mom. And you go, what? And I go, yeah, that's the reality, right? Listen, you can't leave God out of it because that's wickedness. That's just all it is. And so today, how do we, or you, not me, how to be a godly mom in an ungodly world? And we're going to look at Titus 2, 3 through 5. Titus 2, 3 through 5. So if you have a Bible, I want you to open it up. Titus 2, 3 through 5. And it says this, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, reverent, godly in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers. Now, I would tell you this, in today's society, if you use the word homemakers, people freak out. And that's insane, right? Because I think back when I was a kid and my mom, and boy, I'm going to tell you, my mom, she was amazing. She had an eighth grade education. We were very poor growing up. We didn't have a whole lot. Matter of fact, we had very little. And I remember that I wanted a bicycle. My dad, he left when I was four. I didn't see him again until I was about nine. And so in that time, right, it was my mom. And so, I wanted a bicycle. Well, to get the bicycle, we didn't have any money. And so I scrounged up, found frames, tires, the whole nine. But the problem was it didn't have brakes, right? It didn't have brakes. And so, and I don't know if anybody realized it. Oh, and it was a 10-speed bicycle, but it didn't have brakes, no brake levers. And I thought, oh my goodness, man, but I want a bicycle. So what I did was I tied the cable to up around the neck on the handlebars, right? And it was the rear, not realizing that the front's way more important than the rear. But I was like a little kid, right? What are you going to do? And so I ran the cable up. I wrapped it and strapped it to the neck of the handlebars. And I put black tape on the cable. And then that way, as I'm riding, I just pull up on that lever so I could stop. And I was but we lived on a hill. And so my mom sees this contraption that I put together and she's like, if you get hurt, I'm going to kill you. Right. And come on, moms. How many moms are like that? Right. And so I'm like, mom, I'm not going to get hurt. And so I jump on the bicycle and go scooting out. Right. Because who wants to start out going uphill? Nobody. So I start out going downhill. Well, the problem too was it was a gravel road. And the gravel, no brakes, speed, gravity, momentum, like all this came against me all of a sudden, all at once. And it was a crash and burn, right? And so go back up to the house and then my mom's like, what did I tell you? Sit down. Now she had zero mercy picking gravel. But the whole time she's talking to me, right? She's like, I told you. And then her voice starts getting softer, right? And that's moms, right? They're like, and then they just love on you. And man, I'm telling you, I miss my mom all the time. I would love for my mom to see her great-grandbaby, right? Moms, you have to understand. You have to understand. The power you have and the influence you have in people's lives. And one of the things that my mom was amazing at was being a homemaker. And so don't think ever for one moment that being a homemaker is not your top priority and the most important job you could ever have in your life. Being a homemaker. My mom was awesome at it. The difference it makes. Good, obedient to their own husbands. There's another one, and we're going to talk about this as we go on, right? Because you know, if you're married in here, to talk about being obedient to your husbands, most of the time it's right. People get all jacked up, out of shape. Listen, let me help you out. I didn't write this. Right? Just for clarity, I'm reading it. And by the way, let me tell you who did write it. God wrote it. And what happened, though, is society has convinced you women that, and some of you ignorant men, that women are to bow down, right? That's not what this scripture says. Here's what the scripture tells us, being obedient to our husbands, right? Obedient to their own husbands. What does that look like? I can't get ahead of my notes, but real quick. The truth is, it means that we work together, like my wife and I, we work together as one. And then if the one can't come to the conclusion, then one has to make a conclusion, and that rests on the husband. And so if the husband says, we're not going to do this, wives, you should go, okay. But instead, what happens is, how many are sweating already? Oh, is it me? Is it cold in here? All right, listen, nobody else matters. Moms, how many of you are cold? Put your hands down. How many are not cold?
How many are always
okay. cold? Okay, listen. Not cold wins. All right, here we go. So at any rate, wives, it literally means that you, that because my pastor used to always say, anything with two heads is a monster and anything with no head is dead. Anything with two heads, you can write that down. It's okay. Anything with two heads is a monster, and anything with no head is dead. And so God says, listen, I'm going to give you my order, right? My hierarchy order. And today's society has caused women to rise up against this. What? I'm not subject to nobody. You ought to be. And so if nothing else, to God first, amen? And so literally what it means is God says, listen, here's the family order. It's God, husband, wife, children, others, dogs, goldfish, rodents, cats are somewhere down there. And so I'm just saying, right? Remember the kitty fried rice? And so... obedient to their own husbands. It does not mean you're his slave, but it does mean that he's the leader of the house. And you are to follow him as he leads the house, as he follows God. And if he chooses not to follow God, then you need to be in prayer that he gets saved or starts living right so he does follow God. It doesn't matter, though. You have no excuse to abandon what God says. Right? And we can say, well, you don't know my husband. I can say, well, you married him, right? I mean, you knew him. And if you didn't, you should have. At any rate, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. If we call ourselves godly, if we're going to live godly, that means as wives, as women, you need to follow the word of God. I'm just going to tell you right up front. And we don't have that. Listen, and in the church, it's so funny because a lot of women come into church and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And they go home and they're like, what are you on? Right? And the husbands are like curled up in fetal position in the corner. Kids have scattered to every room in the house that they could find where they thought it was safe. And then the same woman would come to church and you're like, oh, she is so awesome. And then the family's like, you ain't got to live with that. Mm. And it shouldn't be that way, right? You should be the same everywhere. Why? Because what's our goal is that we don't blaspheme God. That's our goal, right? That we don't blaspheme God. So, and I know like some of you wives or women out here, you're like, What car does Pastor drive? We'll find it. Listen, I just want you to know, right? No mother is perfect, and motherhood is no easy job. But man, our culture has embraced as its greatest value personal happiness. Moms, that's not what it's about. Dads, that's not what it's not about, personal happiness. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about pleasing God. And if we please the Lord, if that's our goal, man, that personal happiness, that joy that we're looking for, we'll find it, because we'll find it in the Lord. We won't find it in ourselves or in the world. And I'm telling you, the world, let me tell you what happens when we're in pursuing personal happiness. Here's the dangers: divorce, sexual immorality, preoccupation with self-fulfillment. And what all of them, what happens is it takes a toll on the family. It takes a toll on the family. My wife watches Heartland. And who watches Heartland? Oh, my God, like, oh, I love that show. If you don't watch it, God bless you. All right. Because let me tell you something about that show. I'll sit down every now and then and watch an episode with my wife, and I'll miss 30 episodes in between, and I sit down and I'll tell her exactly what's going to happen. I'm like, oh, I bet you blah, 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 and this is what's going to happen. Look, I told you. And she's like, leave the room. But in that show, it has a mom who is being successful at starting her restaurant business called Maggie's, right? By the way, I don't know, it's like there's multiple seasons, so don't run up to any other woman and say, well, let me tell you what happened next, because they may be 2 years behind you or a year ahead of you, okay? So I'm not going to tell you that Peter and Lulu or Lou or whatever her name is never get together again. They're over. Get over it. How many are going? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But here's what we have. We have Lou, who is in pursuit of her professional career. And she's like, oh, we're going to New York. We're going to live in New York. I'll just take the kids with me for the summer. Not even, no consideration of anything, right? She's been gone for a while. She's back and forth, and she's trying to get this business off the ground, because you know why? Let me tell you something. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Not, this doesn't come along very often. And I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? Watching your kids grow up only happens once. So do you want to get a restaurant off the ground, or do you want to watch your children grow up? Because as I look back, I'll be 55 this year. I know I only look 28, but I'll be 55 this year. And as I look back, one of the biggest regrets I have is not spending more time with my children. Not investing more into my children. I'm just telling you, when you get older and you start looking back, it's not about the money you made. It's about the difference you made in people's lives, especially your children. And if you don't have children or they're grown up, ladies, invest in other children. Love on them, encourage them. Be the example that someone wants to follow in godliness. Do not follow the culture. I will tell you, the culture is all about breaking down the family unit. The Bible lifts up the family. The Bible actually exalts the women. I don't know if you know that, but the Bible exalts women. Now, you will talk to some ladies who are like, oh, yeah, well, what about the Bible says stone the woman because she committed adultery? Yeah, that's what it says. Oh, and you think that's right? But I didn't say that. I'm just telling you, you're right. That's what it says. An Old Testament, man, I'm telling you what, Old Testament stoned everyone. And the ones that didn't stone, it burned. And the ones that didn't burn, it stabbed. And the ones that didn't stab, it just buried. Done. Fed them to the lions. Throw them in fire. It's horrible, right? The Old Testament's all about it. But the world will use the Bible to make it look like it's full of hate. And I'm going to tell you it's not. And I would also tell you this, that God literally lifts up women. Motherhood is a ministry. It's a ministry of teaching, preparing children to follow God's path and His ways, and then being an example of the love of Jesus. It's interesting. I look for examples sometimes, and a pastor friend gave me this, and I thought, I can't do it. I've really struggled with this illustration about how important it is for moms, just her ministry is to focus on her children. And so, at any rate, there's about a missionary who was trying to stir up interest to get people to go to a foreign country to preach the gospel. At the end of the service, a woman dragging a little boy behind her told the missionary, "I just feel like God is calling me to be a missionary." "He is indeed," pointed to the little boy. "And there's the little heathen he wants you to preach to." And so I'm not telling you guys, God, oh, you have wonderful, beautiful kids. Amen. But the truth is, we need to focus on our children because the children are the next generation. The children are going to be changing your diaper when you get older. You want them to know what a tab is and a pull-up. I'm just saying, right? And you don't even, if you don't teach them, guys, if you don't pour into them, they're not even going to be there to do anything to help out. It's going to be atrocious. Titus, he writes this, if you would put Titus back up for me again, please. So Titus writes in this to the women, and he writes in 1:12 specifically, if you'll go to Titus 1:12. Yeah, no, I didn't give it to you, did I? Thank you, Gimpy. You're awesome. All right. Titus 1:12 says this. "One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons.'" And you say, well, what's Cretans got to do with any of this? I'm not calling anybody a Cretan. Cretans were the ones that Titus had to deal with. And so when Titus is writing this, he is dealing with, and the church is in an area where it was mostly Cretans, right? And Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And so this was the world that Titus was expecting the women to live godly in. Because I know most people go, oh, pastor, you don't get it. You know, back then they didn't have to deal with what we have to deal with today. Really? Liars, evil, and lazy. I think we have today what they had back then. Amen? And so before you say, pastor, the Bible's out of date, I think this could have been written this morning. Titus was dealing with the same type of people. The same type of people that are trying to destroy the church, destroy women by confusing them into what is right. By convincing them that, oh, this is outdated. And, oh, wait a minute. This is a chauvinist book. It's all about pigs. How dare they? How about this? Women you have, or men, you have no right to tell a woman what to do with her body. That's the biggest thing I get. And because if they find out I'm a pastor, immediately that's what they say to me. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm not telling anybody what to do with anything. This does. And this is the word of God. And they dealt with the exact same thing back then. Cretans, right? They were violent, dishonest, immoral, and the Cretans were legendary for this. And guess what? Americans have become legendary for it as well. And the worst part is we've allowed the world into the church, and so now Christian women are becoming like Cretans as a whole. As a whole. And I'm just thinking to myself, ladies, no, don't do that. If anything goes contrary to the word of God, it's wrong. It's wrong. What do we listen to? Who do we listen to? We listen to this. And so, ladies, understand when Titus wrote this, he understood what he was talking about because he was living through it as well. And then here, Christian women are trying to be godly, but they were living in a supremely ungodly society. Isn't it seem like I'm talking about today? So the scriptures are appropriate for us today. That's my point, and that's what I want you to see. The older women, they're exhorted to teach, encouraged to teach and train the young women, right, in noble, excellent, and beautiful things. And ladies, for some reason, we have allowed our daughters to grow up not knowing even how to write a check, let alone balance a checkbook. They don't know a tablespoon from a teaspoon. Don't know. I'm blown away at how girls today and boys today don't know the simplest thing. I can hand somebody my watch, right? It's got hands on it and a second hand. And there's people in high school that will look at that and go, "It's shiny." And you got to give them an analog so they can look up and go, "Oh, 10:15. So we're early today, guys, just so you know." And no, it's 11:15, right? Some of you, I just get in your mind to get, "Oh, we got a long time to go yet." But they can't tell time. That's to our detriment. Ladies, gentlemen, invest in your children. Women are to teach young mothers how to be godly mothers in an ungodly world. The first thing that we do is, ladies, love your husband. Ephesians 5:22 through 33. If you'll put that up, and we're going to read this because I want you to see what the scriptures say. Ladies, if you're married, love your husbands. Ephesians 5:22 through 33 says this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now see, there's the definition. Submit to your husband as to the Lord, right? So for those who need clarity, there you go. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so what I want you to see here as we are looking at this is, ladies, if you don't love your husbands, guess what? Your daughters will grow up to treat their husband the way you treat yours. And I know some of you, and God forgive you. Because this is going to happen. You're going to have girls that are going to treat their husband the way you treat yours. And that's shameful. It's shameful. And here's what they'll do. They'll take everything that they learn from you into their marriage. And if it's not godly, you just taught your children how to train wreck their marriage, how to train wreck their household, and how to train wreck their children's children and their children, and who's going to break the curse. I'm telling you, we have to do it God's way. And the first thing that we got to do, ladies, is we have to love. I say we like I'm part of you. Ladies, you have to love your husband, okay? I ain't got no husband. I'm dating right now. Ladies, love your husband. If we don't take the marriage relationship serious, we'll destroy everything that follows it. Everything that follows it will destroy it. And I know we'll say, children are resilient. They'll bounce back. You've left them no choice but to be resilient. And they don't bounce back. And you know how I know? Because I end up counseling them as adults. And when I counsel them as adults, I am blown away at some of the simplest things that could have been fixed and avoided that train wrecked their life. And I can tell you this, divorce is one of the biggest issues in a family's world right now that is destroying them. I'm just going to tell you. And I know I came from a divorce to home as well. And I can tell you this, my oldest brother, and he may be listening, love you. And so... Just got to remember, God says forgive. But I want you to understand how I know this is personal. Like, I'm not just telling you stories, because sometimes people, you think that pastors don't know anything, right? We're innocent, we're naive, we live in a bubble, right? Let me help you out. We don't live in a bubble. We totally know. And I just want to make sure that my phone is turned off, because I normally forget it, and he might be sending me a message after this one. So at any rate, that's true. And so, but I've watched, and like I said, I'll be 55 years old this year. And one of the things that I realized happened when my mom and dad divorced, it was my oldest brother who got hurt the most. And to this day, it still has effects on him. Now, he might deny it. If he and I are talking, he would never deny it, because he and I, we just talk. But I'm going to tell you, it affects him to this day. And he's 50, I'm 50. So he'll be 57, or he is 57. He's a little over 2 years older than me. And it has followed him his whole life. Guys, I'm just telling you, it'll follow you your whole life. Parents, you think it won't affect your children? It'll blow them out of the water. The only reason it seems like they recover or they're resilient is because they didn't have a choice. Oh, and they got to hide all the emotions, and they got to hide all the pain. They got to hide all the feelings. They got to hide everything. Why? Because usually parents are too busy and so selfish, they don't even recognize it anyway. And then the children, they go out and get in trouble, and the parents are like, oh, kids will be kids. And you're just like, oh, I want to just knock you in the head. Let me Three Stooges you for a second, right? Right? All right, maybe that's over the line. But I'm just telling you that, listen, if wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord, men, they're not your slaves. They're not your slaves. And by the way, when we get to the Father's Day, I'll blow your world up. So don't worry, it's coming, right? Because men are supposed to love their husbands as Christ loved the church, sacrificially. Men are supposed to love. Why did I just do that? I just wanted to see if you guys were listening. That's all I was. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wives. Dear God, please forgive me. Lord, I didn't mean it. And, right? But husbands, you're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church. What does that look like? Man, that means you protect them. And women, don't say you don't need protection. It's a man's job. Let him do his job. God, listen, I see a man roll up on a woman, I'm taking him out. And not to McDonald's either. That's all I'm going to tell you. Like, we'll just say fries. Yeah, fries, fried. Done. Right? That's why, because what God made men protectors, to protect his wife. Let us do our job. Let us do our job. Don't walk around so arrogant. I don't need no problem. I don't need no man. There's a boot for you. Okay. Anyway, so listen, love your husbands. Ladies, love your husbands. So next, 28. Please go to 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives. See, that's what I meant earlier. I'm sweating. So husbands ought to love their own wives. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, right? He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Ladies, let the husbands love you. And husbands, do it. Do it. Do it. I mean, if you do it. But let me just say this. Back up one to the, thank you. Back up, please. Okay. I'm going to ask you this question in all sincerity. Why submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, right? What follows that? What follows that? What's that? What's next? Period. Period. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Not if and when, but period. Do it because God called you to do it. See, here's what people miss. Wives, if you'll do what God asked you to do in loving your husband or respecting your husband and take care of your husband, and husbands, if you do what God's called you to do in loving your wife, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have a beautiful marriage. But if you take on the idea of the world and all you want is be selfish and self-indulgent, you have just destroyed your family. Period. And you can go, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I do understand. The Word of God is not a lie. What I also understand is when two people aren't willing to die to themselves and take care of one another, you are going to destroy your household. You're going to destroy your children. You're going to destroy everybody that comes in there. You're going to destroy other relationships because you're too busy. Let me tell you what my husband did. Let me tell you what my wife did. Let me tell you. It's like, shut up. Right? I'm just saying, if you do it God's way, you won't destroy your house. And you say, Pastor, why are you so passionate about it? Because I'm the one that fixes your mess up. Your children, when they become adults and they don't know what to do, they don't know where to turn, they have nobody to talk to, who do you think they go to? If you're fortunate, they'll come to me. But most often they go to the drug dealer. They go to the doctor, that's the legal drug dealer, to the psychologist and the psychiatrist and all the people that you have pushed them to. And since the only example they had was the world, they went after the world and they sacrificed the only thing that had the real answer. I'm just saying, come on, ladies, gentlemen, man, live God's way and you won't have the problems of the world. So when the marriage... when the marriage relationship is priority, the wife and the husband will be the most fulfilled. You really will. You will. And you know how I know? If you're, don't raise your hand. Nobody raise their hand. Nobody raise their hand. If I were to ask how many of you are miserable in your marriage, don't raise your hand, right? And you were to raise your hand. You know, the reality is you're not fulfilled now. So ask the question, are you doing it God's way? See how easy that just got? No, you're doing it the world's way and you're complaining. Oh, listen, you what? Why is it when we know we're doing something wrong and we know it's destroying us, we hope we get better, but we don't stop doing what's killing us? Why do we do that? Why? I don't get it. I just don't get why we don't go, oh yeah, okay, here's the problem. This is why I'm struggling. So I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm going to turn this way. And it's like, no. Here's the problem. Okay, I'll work my way through it. I know it's not going away, but I'll just keep working my way through it. And you just get deeper and deeper in it. And then you get more angry, so you mistreat one another more. Then you end up mistreating your children. Then you end up mistreating your family. And then you end up mistreating your friends. And then you wonder why you're all alone and you start blaming everybody else. And all you got to do is look in the mirror and go, I didn't do it God's way. That's the realization of all of this. Of all of this. I spend hours and hours and hours a week counseling people on how to get through issues that if mom and dad would have just been godly, they would never have happened. They would never have happened. They never would have happened. And you say, oh, my children are resilient. No, they're just dying. You can't see it. They keep it a secret. And they'll start cutting. And then they wear long sleeves so nobody sees it. And then parents are like, oh, give them their privacy. Because we don't, the world tells us we have no right to know what our children are doing. And so then you let them go. Meanwhile, they're dying on the inside. I'm just saying, we can't keep doing things the way of the world and expect to have the glory of God and the health that God provides in His way in our life. That's all I'm saying. That's all. But ladies, if you love your husband as Christ talks about, you take care of your husband the way Christ talks about. And husbands, if you take care of your wife the way Christ talks about, your children will have a wonderful example, and they'll be able to recognize when the relationship is wrong, and they won't walk into abusive relationships because they'll realize they're better than that. But if that's what's normal at home, then that's normal to them. That's all they know. And the other thing is, love your children. Ladies, love your children. Now, loving the children does not mean that you give them everything they want, making sure that they keep up with the world, and you never let them make their own religious decisions. Jesus is the only way. We'll let them find out for themselves. Would you let a 2-year-old try to cross the I-90 by themselves? No way in the world. Why would you do that to your children when it comes to Jesus? What in the world? Like that is that's insane. Is it cold in here? Yeah, we'll deal with it. So anyway, listen. Come on. Moms, love your children, not by giving them everything. Let me tell you something. You got to love on them. And one of the things that love requires discipline. Amen. Man, that's my children. I'm kidding. I didn't really do that. I didn't do that. Did I spank them? You better believe it. Listen, Proverbs 23, 13 through 14. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. I want you to see what the scriptures say, because I don't want nobody going, "Pastor, you're abusive. The Bible doesn't say beat your children." Yeah, it does. Watch this. And Proverbs. Oh, my goodness. Ready? Do not withhold the beating from your child. For if you beat him, look at that. Did you see that word? All right. Do not withhold correction from a child. For not a child, it should be for your child. Don't beat someone else's kid, man. Nowadays, that would not be healthy at all, right? Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And you're like, "That's in the Bible. I can't read the Bible no more." Well, let me help you out. It was real interesting. I had a friend of mine who disciplined his children, and he disciplined his children's friends. And his name was Woody Carroll. He has since passed away. He was an ex-Marine, and he would tell you, when do I go to church? When the sap-sucking doors are open, I'll be there, right? That was his mentality. And so he raised his boys in church, and it ended up being a sad story eventually. But one day, his boy's friend came over and kept acting up. And so Woody was like, "Boy, if I have to tell you again, we're going to go for a little walk." Well, the boy's parents, they said that mess all the time. And so he was completely disrespectful to Woody. Woody walked by, snatched that kid up, took him out back and beat him with a rod. And then told him, "Go back in the house. And boy, next time I talk to you, you better listen. Because this won't be the last. You understand me?" That boy went into the house. And from that time on, every time Woody would say something, he's like, "Yes, Mr. Carroll. He'd go to his house. "Mr. Carroll, can I hang out with you? Mr. Carroll, can I help you? And so one day Woody asked him, he was like, "Why do you want to always hang out with me? My boys aren't here." He says, you're the only one that's ever showed me love.
Amen.
And Woody was like, showed you love? Boy, I took you out back. And he goes, I wish my parents would. My parents don't care what I do. They just let me go. See, in that boy's mind, God is right. Discipline shows him that someone cared. Someone actually took the time to say, that's not right. We're not going to do that. Let me help you through this, right? And discipline. Today, people don't want to discipline their child. I love them. They're my best friend. They can be your best friend when they're adults. Right now, they're your children. Beat them with a rod. I'm just saying. And some of you are like, I don't agree with you, Pastor. Let me help you one more time. I didn't write this. It's the Word of God, right? And so you instill the Christian worldview into your children. You teach them to love Jesus. You care for their spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. I want you to write down, and if you would, Gimpy, Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Psalms 127, 3 through 5. And then also 2 Timothy 1, 5. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says this. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Think about this just for a second and where we are in America today. And they don't look at children as a reward. Amen. What's our problem? I'll tell you what our problem is. Our problem is parents quit teaching children. That's our problem. And moms, don't abandon your post. Don't abandon your job. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's not a curse. Man, I hear people all the time, what if she can't afford to raise a child? What if they didn't want a child? What if it was this or if it was that? And it's like, no, it's a reward. It's the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. I'm telling you, children are a reward. I had a friend of mine, though. He wanted a boy, and his name was Mark. He wanted a boy, 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 wanted a boy. And a half a kid later, he went and got a license plate that said quiver full, and they were all girls. And so he's like, I quit. Listen, 2 Timothy 1:5. I want you to see here 2 Timothy 1:5. And in 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. This is Paul talking to Timothy, which dwelt first in your, who? Grandmother and your, what? Mother. Listen, dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Because what happened? Well, it was a mom's job back then to invest and to teach the scriptures and to teach children the things of God. And then the father would teach the things, or reconfirm, if you will, reaffirm the things of God and teach him the things of life. That was just how it was. And then look where Timothy is today, right? Not today, because he's with Jesus. But here, the Word of God, what did it do? It strengthened him. It encouraged him. It matured him. It gave him wisdom, gave him direction. And what did he do? He took that and helped the whole community get healthy. How? By starting a church, pastoring a church, and loving on people and teaching them the things of God. But where did it start? Grandma and mom. Grandma and mom, please, ladies, do not sacrifice your children to the world. And then let me tell you this, develop Christian character. Develop Christian character. And one of the first things to developing Christian character is to be self-controlled. I'll share a statistic with you that's absolutely 10,000% true. And I normally don't even share it, but I think, hey, why not? It's Mother's Day and I'm talking about women. Any rate, let me give you these statistics. And this is personal. This is what I have absolutely witnessed at this church, Connecting Point Church. In the last 6 years, maybe seven, but definitely in the last 6 years, every family that has left the church, and when I say left the church, I mean they didn't leave Connecting Point and went somewhere else. They left the church, got angry, spit nails. Every family that has left the church in the last 6 to 7 years, without exception, and I'm running through my brain real quick to double check, make sure I didn't miss anything, without exception, was because of the woman lacking self-control. Without exception. And the children? So one of the things that I noticed that was trending with the girls in these families, they would, because dad would be so consumed with trying to please mom, and mom is so consumed with herself, that if there were girls in the family, they would all of a sudden get consumed with trying to find somebody to love them. And then they would start sending private pictures of themselves, looking for someone to just love on them, or in their view, just to give them some attention. Dad, if you're not loving on your children, you're an idiot. And mom, if you're not, you are too. Because your children will desperately reach outside. And then the boys in those families, they would typically, it's so funny because it used to be that they would get aggressive. And some do, some get aggressive. But now what I'm finding is they're running to, and girls as well, they're running to the LGBT groups in the schools, because they're the most accepting and the less judgmental and the less this and that. And so, but for the last 6 years, almost 7 years, every family that's left the church, left here, has been because the mom lacks self-control and ultimately destroys the family. Now, I'm not blaming all moms, please. Men, you strike the yeah, you're there too. But I'm just telling you statistically. And so when the Bible talks about being self-controlled, it means to be sober-minded. And the young women is to think about what she's doing with her life, right? And one of the biggest things that Cretans were known for was lack of self-control. And so Titus is like, guys, you got to have self-control. You got to get yourself under control, right? These women who are like, I got to find myself, or you men, I got to find myself. I'm going to help you because that's what I get paid to do. Go to the mall. Look for that big board, right? That has the list of the whole mall, the layout of the mall. And look for that little red dot that says, you are here. You found yourself. Go home. Go home and do what's right. So I'm helping you. This is, I'm here to help. Amen. And so Cretans were known for a lack of self-control. 1 Timothy 2:9, if you'll put up 1 Timothy 2:9. And I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, we allow the world to influence all that we do and not God. 1 Timothy 2:9 says this, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Ladies, keep what you have for your husband. The world doesn't need to see it. Really don't. Man, we don't need to see. You might be proud of the stamp you got back here or wherever, but we don't need to see it. And the truth is, That skin is yours and your husband's. Adorn yourselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. And what it's talking about is, don't be so flamboyant. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Because let me tell you what men will do. They will look at you. And then you may not like what you're getting. And then all of a sudden now men are the problem. And men sometimes are the problem. But, you know, sometimes we get what we go after. And sometimes what we go after gets us. The next thing I want you to do is to be pure. This relates to commitments to God, to your children, to your marriage vows, to purity. And it relates to spiritual influence in the home. 1 Peter 3:1-2. 1 Peter 3:1-2, if you'll pull that up for me. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, I know this is going to be a struggle for some of you because it's like, well, I wonder if he's ungodly, even if some do not obey the word. So that answers that. Wives, you have a job to do. Well, it's not my responsibility. No, it's your responsibility to be godly. And remember, I didn't write this. And I drive a red Toyota. I'm just kidding. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Ladies, if you don't like your household, keep living godly, and eventually, hopefully, prayerfully, it'll change the husband because of your conduct. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. That word fear, conduct, means that you are doing what is right and you're doing it according to the word of God. Fear accompanied by fear means that you're doing it in all reverence of God. See, some people are like, I'm doing everything right, but you left out the reverence of God. Or you're like, I'm reverencing God, but then you left out doing what was right. See, the Bible says that you have to have both. And when you have both, the husband will respond. And you might say, ladies, No, I'm not investing in that. I'm not asking you to invest in that. I'm asking you to be godly, to do what God called you to do. And Jesus says, if you love me, what? You'll keep my commandments. And this is a command. And so we have to be pure. We have to be kind. And of course, the kindness deals with doing good, being benevolent toward others, hospitality, having a giving nature toward others. Basically, just be godly. Just be godly. If we're going to live and be godly people, we have to not do like the world does. And if what you are doing is accepted by unsaved friends, but not the Christian, that might be your first sign that you're wrong and that you need to stop. And it's not a detriment to live Christ-like. That's what's going to win others to Jesus. And if we love others, we want to be Christ-like. Amen? Ladies, let me encourage you. It's not a negative. It is not a negative. It is not a negative to live according to the word of God. It's not a negative to be a mom with discipline toward your children. The world will tell you it is, but then look at all the kids in the world. I would tell you God's way works. Ladies, let me encourage you to do it God's way. I just want to encourage you to do it God's way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're a mom And listen, I get it. Nothing's easy right now. And in this world, it's definitely not easy. And oh my goodness, sometimes it is just overwhelming what's going on and the pressures of the world. But listen, we can't give in to the pressures and we can't sacrifice our children to the things of the world. And so we take a stand and we fight. And we can't sacrifice our marriage to the things of the world. We take a stand and we fight. I think it's time to fight. Ladies, you have the most awesome job that there is. And probably the hardest job that there is. But God talks about the woman who does that job. And he gives her high praise. So go after the high praise of God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I got to make some changes in my household, in my marriage, with my children, with so many things, and it's difficult, will you pray for me? If that's you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Amen. Hands up all over. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift these up to you, Father, who know they have to make changes. And Lord, we know changes are a struggle. And Father, the world just keeps going against us and pressing harder and harder. But Father, you require godliness, but then you bless that as well. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us will relinquish the world to you. And Father, that we would follow you, that we would seek your face. And Lord, we will not allow the world to poison our home, our marriage, our relationships, and our children. So, Father, I pray that you keep your hand upon those who raise their hand and that you give them strength and wisdom. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, listen, I want to follow the Bible, but man, I don't even know that if I'm going to heaven. Will you pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand? I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. How can I follow the Bible? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. You can put your hands down. Let me help you out. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And anyone who believes in him or gives their life to him, they will be saved and heaven will be their home. And so, do you believe Jesus Christ came as the Savior of the world, died on the cross, rose again on the third day, and he's at the right hand of the Father? If you believe that, then the Bible says that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so if you're here today, and if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, then you pray this prayer. Now, the words aren't magical. The words are not magical. What is, though, is that you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and you surrender your life to him. And so by praying this prayer, it just gives you a time stamp. But if you don't mean it in your heart, please do not pray the prayer. Please do not deceive yourselves. But if it's your desire, quietly to yourself, pray this prayer. Jesus, today I surrender. I surrender everything to you. I know that I've messed up. I know that I have made some really bad decisions. I've made some poor decisions. But today, I'm giving my life to you. Today, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that there's no way to heaven except through you. Today, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. And today, I repent. I turn away from walking toward the world, and I turn and walk toward you.